It's September 27th, 2009. Welcome to Sunday at CMU. My name is David Balser, your host for Sunday at Canadian Mennonite University. We are a university of the church for the world. Let's pray. Lord of grace, come into our hearts. Come softly and gently shield our hearts from all unrest. You came to this world in poverty. Come and make us humble and poor in spirit. Establish your kingdom in us, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That was a Celtic prayer sung by the CMU Singers. Today we conclude our series on prominent leaders in the Old Testament. This morning we meet Nehemiah, and our theme is Overcoming Problems. The scripture text is taken from Nehemiah chapter 2. Our speaker this morning is Dr. Gordon Matties, Associate Professor of Biblical Studies and Theology. He's been our guest speaker all month. Thank you, Gordon, for leading us into God's living word over the past 4 weeks, bringing your passion for Scripture, your faith in God, and your creativity. Thank you.
The church needs visionary leaders who can motivate people and get things done. Here is an example from my context. CMU is entering its 10th year with very healthy student numbers, all made possible because of a handful of entrepreneurs. Those leaders, for the most part, were not teachers, priestly types like Ezra. They were more like Nehemiah, who saw the need, trusted God, petitioned government, and worked tirelessly to build a Christian university that now serves students from far and wide and from many backgrounds. During the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, Jerusalem numbered only a few thousand, and the city's walls and gates were ash and broken stones. When Nehemiah heard about conditions in the city, he wept, fasting and praying for days. Unlike Ezra the priest, who prayed long theological prayers, Nehemiah's prayers arose spontaneously. They reflect his immediate engagement in situations of dire need. His prayers imply confidence that God will accomplish his purposes. After describing the situation of Jerusalem to the Persian king at the beginning of chapter 2, the king asks Nehemiah, "What do you request?" Nehemiah catches his breath and tells us, his readers, "So I prayed to the God of heaven, then I said to the king, 'I ask you to send me to Judah, to the city of my ancestors' graves, so that I may rebuild it.'" Unlike Ezra's literary prayers, Nehemiah's prayer could not have been longer than a breath. He stands before the king, after all. Yet, exactly like Ezra, Nehemiah says twice in chapter 2, "The gracious hand of my God was upon me." Grounded in such confidence, Nehemiah says at the end of chapter 2 that he and many others committed themselves to the common good. And to those who opposed the building of the wall, he said, "The God of heaven is the one who will give us success, and we, his servants, are going to start building." Now, Nehemiah does much more than rebuild walls. He knows that walls alone do not restore vibrant and hopeful community. In chapter 5, we read about Nehemiah's encounter with people who were being exploited by others within the community. Confronting this outcry, he doesn't need to pray. We read in chapter 5, verse 7, simply this: "After thinking it over, I brought charges against the nobles and the officials." Nehemiah knows the word of God, which condemns exploitation. Building the walls is absolutely necessary, but restoring justice goes even deeper. Readers of Ezra and Nehemiah are right to extol Ezra's virtues, a scholar and a man of profound prayer. It's often said that Ezra was the teacher and Nehemiah was the doer, but that's not fair. They were both doers, but with different tasks. Nehemiah as entrepreneur and Ezra as educator both serve with the hand of the Lord on them. CMU's early visionaries also took risks by seeking government legislation and support for the new venture. Like Nehemiah, they persisted in their vision against all odds and in the face of those who lamented the loss of older visions. Yet their persistence has led to a great gift. We can say, reflecting on both Ezra and Nehemiah, the educators and the entrepreneurs are both blessed with the hand of the Lord on them. And all of us at CMU, as we enter our 10th year, say with Nehemiah in chapter 6, verse 16, "This work has been accomplished with the help of our God."
Praise to the
That was "Praise to the Lord the Almighty," sung by the CMU Alumni Choir. My interview guest today is Adam Clausen. He just graduated this past April with a Bachelor of Arts, a four-year program in English and a history minor. And he's originally from Winkler and moved to Winnipeg to study at CMU. Is that right, Adam?
That's right, yeah.
There's a lot, just as we were talking, again, I was fascinated about you on paper, but I much prefer to talk to you face-to-face. Your practicum was involved with Open Circle. Mm-hmm. It's a program with Mennonite Central Committee. Can you describe for us just a little bit, what is Open Circle and how did you get connected?
Yeah. Open Circle is a prison visitation and community integration program. The majority of our work has to do with setting up one-to-one visitations for those in prison. So we find people from the community who are willing to go into the prisons and go visit prisoners who are in there currently. Everything's voluntary, and what we try to set up is friendships, essentially. We try to find people for the prisoners to talk to take them out of their daily routine and to give them someone caring and compassionate to talk to.
Can you remember, out of all of this experience, a particular moment or a person that really had a lasting emotional or spiritual or physical impact on you?
One of the more interesting art pieces is this guy. He goes by the name of Chico. It's a nickname. He was sitting in the remand center many years ago, and he was about to go on trial, I think, and he was bored. There's really nothing to do in prison most of the time, and he was reading the Bible, and he looked over from his place, and he saw toilet paper. And he decided that why not try to fashion something out of toilet paper? So he wrote John 3:16 in Chinese characters out of toilet paper, and from there he's just kind of continued to work with toilet paper, and he started making sculptures and busts and things like this by rolling it up really fine and kind of putting it around, and it's just become this amazing thing for him. And it's just become an incredible sense of pride and enjoyment that he's found out of this, and it kind of helped him deal with a lot of the issues of anger and anxiety that he had been dealing with before.
So did you meet Chico personally in this process?
I did. Part of my work was to go in and interview all of the artists and write little biographies on them. So
wow.
I got to talk to every single one of them about their work.
So you're an English major from Winkler. You studied history as a minor.
Yeah.
And now you find yourself interviewing inmates about art. What do you take away into the rest of your life out of this kind of an experience?
I take away the realization of my place in the world is not the only place in the world. It's kind of easy to kind of get into that thinking. You grow up and everything seems normal. What your experiences are completely normal. And you know, you go to university and you start to, you know, realize that what I've experienced or what I've seen is not even a fraction of what there is in this world. And talking to these people who've come from completely different experiences than mine, and no less valuable and no less important, has been humbling. And it's really taught me the importance of listening. I have my ideas, but they're my ideas and they have their ideas, and we need to be able to sit and talk about them, and I need to be able to listen to these people who a lot of them have never been listened to before. That's one of the things about a lot of people who've been in prison. They've never really had anybody sit down and ask them what their story is and actually care about it before, and not necessarily just try to help them, but just try to listen to what they have to say.
So lots of listening.
Lots of listening.
The listening continues.
Yeah, well, I like to say that I get paid to have coffee with people and it's great.
Adam, thanks for coming in and sharing some of your stories. Fascinating, and it's a pleasure to know you. And thank you for continuing to pursue that function of listening and paying attention that seems to be quite impoverished in our society.
I think it absolutely is. Absolutely. You're very welcome.
Thank you. Here are some upcoming activities at CMU. October 18th at 7:30 p.m. in the Laudamus Auditorium is CMU Vespers, a time of quiet worship, contemplation, music, and scripture. October 20th and 21st is the J.J. Thiessen Lectures with guest speaker Peter Ox, Edgar Bronfman Professor of Modern Judaic Studies from the University of Virginia. For more information regarding these and many other events, check your church bulletin or visit the CMU website at 3ws.cmu.ca. Thank you for joining me this morning for Sunday at CMU. You can listen anytime to the program on our website. I invite you to pray for our mission of Christian university education. You can send your comments and donations to Sunday at CMU, 500 Shaftesbury Boulevard, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3P2N2, or email us at sunday@cmu.ca. Until next Sunday, my prayer for you is this. May God bless and keep you. May the face of God shine on you and give you peace. Amen.